Well, good morning, and welcome to New Life Church. My name is Janessa, if you don't know me, and myself and Justin and Nathan in the band will lead you through this service this morning. It's nice to see all of you, and as we worship, let's just stand and pray. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this act of worship, this act of telling you and telling ourselves that we are, all the anxieties and struggles that we have can all be given to you. Despite the things that we like to focus on and fret about, you are bigger, and we get to cast our worries upon a mighty God, a wonderful God. We get to give you all the praise that you deserve. We love you, Lord. We sing of your love today.
Oh, To the mountains, where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. My help comes from
mercy fills the street to look upon when you wait to save me and walk with him for all eternity. There will be a day we're all bow for him. There will be a day when death will be no more. Standing face to face as he who died and rose again. Holy, holy is the Lord. And every prayer prayed in desperation, sounds of faith, save your doubt and fear. And in the end, see that it was worth it when he returns to wipe away our tears. So join the resurrection and stand beside the heroes of the faith, and with one voice, a thousand generations singing, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. And on that day, and on that day, we join the resurrection.
Worthy of all praise. We're going to continue worshiping. And as we count it an act of worship to give our offering to the Lord, we're going to take this time. You can feel free to come down and give your offering in the boxes below. Behind me are a couple of different ways to give. And the first Sunday of the month is we give to New Life Ministries. So feel free to do that now and join us in this next song. Calling.
Gospel message that there's forgiveness, that there's redemption, that there's hope, and there's identity in you. And we just thank you, Father, for the redemption that each one of us have received when we've called out to you and made you Lord of our lives. We thank you that at any moment in our lives we can come to the altar, let go of everything that has gone past, and once again walk forward into your presence and walk forward into redemption. God, we just thank you for that. You are faithful, you are gracious, you are loving, and we love you because you first loved us. Help us to be the men and women, your children, who you've called us to be, God, for your name's sake. And all of God's people said, amen, amen. Awesome. Thank you, guys. Well, great to have you all here. Great to have you in person. This is lovely to be together, worshiping and celebrating together. I'm so thankful to be here with you all. My name is Justin. For those of you that don't know me, I get to lead our young adults ministry and our life groups ministry. And I just want to say a special welcome to any of you that are joining us for the first time. You're somewhat new to the church, or you're just getting familiar with the church. Welcome to you. I want to make sure that you feel as connected as possible, as welcomed as possible. And the best way for you to do that is to fill out a connect card that you'd find in front of your pews or your seats. Fill that out, drop it in the offering as it goes by, or go out to the foyer and connect at the info booth. Someone will connect with you and talk with you. And if you fill out those connect cards, a pastor will get to you through the week and just connect, and ask you how you're doing and how to best connect you to our church community. For those of you that are joining us online, welcome. We love you. We are so happy to have you. Special shout out to Mike and Jacob, who are hosting this morning. This is awesome. Great to have you guys as well. Pastor Mike should have put up a connect card for you if you're joining us online, and you can just click that link, and then you will be able to fill that out and also get connected to New Life. So welcome. Welcome to our online campus. I have a few announcements for us today. If you are new, the best way, the actual best way for you to get connected into this community is through our small group ministry that we call Life Groups. We call it life groups because it's where we do life together, where we can come alongside each other in a small community of people to grow deeper in our faith, to keep each other accountable, to learn more about the Father, and to serve and be spurred on to love and good deeds. So now more than ever is our life group ministry so important. And if you are new to the church and you want to get connected, today is a perfect opportunity for you for many ways. So first, if you're new to the church, if you're new to this congregation, to this community, we have a 7-week short-term small group study that's going to be taking place October 19th. That's going to be Tuesday nights, October 19th, led by Pastor Bruce Gritter. And he's going to be walking us through something he calls the big story. So if you are interested in that, if you're interested in getting connected in a small group of many different believers and people that are either getting used to this church or haven't been connected in a life group, we want to invite you. Please sign up. Myself and another life group elder will be in the foyer after the service. And then you can come chat with us and sign up and let us know that you're interested in that. Another amazing way for you to get connected is into life groups itself. So this is a short-term group that's happening October 19th for 7 weeks. We also have long-term life groups where people gather together every week or every other week and process the word together, process life together, and are an encouragement to one another. We really want to encourage you. Now more than ever is it important to be in community. So please connect with myself, any of the pastors, any of the life group elders, anybody, and we'll be in the foyer after the service. If you're interested in a life group or in the short-term group, come talk to us. Just because you sign up or just because you come talk to us doesn't mean that we're going to lock you into anything right away. So just come talk to us. I'll help you get connected. Another announcement we have for you is our October Serve Focus. Every month this year we've had a Serve Focus, a way that we can be a blessing to this community in the name of Christ. And this month is going to be for our Abbotsford Food Bank. So what we do is we do our very best to bring as much food and items to bless the people of this community. And this particular month, we're going to do it in a different way. Usually during Thanksgiving, we have you bring an assortment of goods, canned foods, all kinds of goodies, and sort them out, bring them up on the stage as your offering. But this month, we have a specific item we want you to bring every Sunday. Okay, so for October 10th, next Sunday, October 10th, we want you to bring cooking oil. So you can bring whatever kind of cooking oil you want to bring: olive oil, avocado oil, sunflower oil, vegetable oil, sesame oil. What else we got? Coconut oil. Yeah. Yeah. Canola oil. Yeah. What else? Yes, motor oil. Bring that too. Baby oil. I have hair trimmer oil. I can bring that. It's a sensitive subject. No, just bring the cooking oils, please. Peanut oil. Ah, yes, I knew I had another one. That one's great. Good for deep frying. Okay, beautiful. So bring some cooking oils. And then, so that'll be October 10th, Sunday, October 10th. Monday, October 11th is our Thanksgiving Day. And we're gonna do a theme for our Thanksgiving Day. It's going to be Nourish and Be Nourished. We did this last year. It was really special. It was a really wonderful time. We're going to do that again this year. And we're going to do it in a different way. So first, the service is going to be at 9 a.m., not 10 a.m. Please don't show up at 10 a.m. You're going to feel a little bit left out of this amazing time we're going to have together. And the reason we're having it at 9 a.m. is because we're also going to do breakfast together. So we're going to come together, have breakfast. But the Nourish and Be Nourished part was you come to Nourish by bringing your gift to the food bank. And we ask you to bring rice, either 1 kg or 2 kg bags. And you'll come and bring that up here. And then the Be Nourished is to worship together and also to have breakfast together. We're going to break bread together. Hopefully we'll break some bacon together, maybe break some eggs together. I don't know what we're doing for breakfast, but I'm looking forward to that. So Monday, October 11th, Thanksgiving, 9 a.m. here at church. Awesome. So this is going to be our time where we get to dismiss the children for kids' church as well as a little bit of a break for fellowship time. So kids and parents, for Little Lights, ages 3 to 5, you're going to go out through this door on my left. And for kids' church, grades 1 to 5, you're going to exit through this door. If you are new here and you don't know the system very well, why don't you come down to this door with your kids, and we're going to have an attendant there guide you through the whole process. And parents of kids in nursery or Little Lights, we're going to do a manual check-in. So if you want to go ahead and take your kids down yourself and sign them in, that'll be wonderful. All right, spend some time greeting your neighbor, and we will see you soon.
beginning, one with God the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation, now revealed in you, our Christ. What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater.
If you'll take a seat, grab that last drop of coffee. Wonderful. Well, welcome again to New Life Church. So glad that we can be together. And so we're in a series called Rise Up. These t-shirts are going on sale right after the service. No, not really. Somebody just gave me this t-shirt just before the service, so I thought I'd wear it. Matches, I don't know if you can see it. People online, maybe I'll walk closer. You got that? Rise Up. Rise Up. That's the series we're in, Rise Up. This is actually, I didn't know the BC Lung Association was preaching about Rise Up either, but apparently they are. So, yes, thank you, Gloria, for picking this up. She even washed it, so that was nice. Here's the thing. In this Rise Up series, one of the impressions we may get is that we simply have to, in terms of endurance, we simply have to press through the hardship and just make it on our own, and just keep plowing through. And so today I want to do a bit of a shift, because I think that would actually be unhelpful, to think that we just have to bear up ourselves the hardship that we enter into, whether we're talking about the COVID pandemic, which is the context for today, or anything else that might be going on in our lives. Because endurance, enduring, being faithful to endure through good times and bad times is more than just grin and bear it. Endurance requires us to find strength in God. Endurance is about casting our cares on Him. It's about learning to fully trust and then learning more trust, greater trust, in the only one who can save us. So this morning, to lead us to that kind of endurance, I want us to consider together that we are in a time of loss, a time of grief, essentially, as we experience this COVID pandemic. And I think it's important to acknowledge that. Think about it. Think about the kinds of things that we've lost since, 2 years ago? Almost 2 years. In this context, we at least at one time, lost the ability, and to a certain extent have lost the ability, to gather together freely, without consideration, without wondering, what's the restriction now? We've lost that ability to be able to gather together, to have that kind of physical connection, which is so important. Evidently, even important to God. He had to come down to earth. God incarnate, God with us in Jesus Christ, to make that physical connection. We've lost that. A part of that. We've also lost our life rhythms. Some of the habits and rhythms of our lives that we've gotten used to, that makes us comfortable, that makes us enjoy life, well, those rhythms have been disrupted. We've lost our sense of safety in the world. To be able to just go out freely, without a care. And now we have to worry about, will we get sick, or will we catch something? We've lost a sense of control over our lives, and that's hard. We're used to living with the expectation that we can manage our lives, with the expectation that, if something goes wrong, we have the resources to fix it, or to adjust it, or to adapt to it. And this pandemic experience has made us wonder if we really are in control. We've lost probably hopes and dreams for future years, wondering, right? We had expectations and plans, and now those are all up in the air. We've lost the feeling of being out in the world without fear. We've lost our sense of normalcy. What is that? It's a lot of loss that we've experienced. I think a critical thing is to begin to acknowledge that loss. Perhaps even whether we recognize those losses in our own personal lives or not, certainly those losses exist in a general nature throughout the whole world. A worldwide pandemic. Not experienced that before. And that institutes a lot of loss. And of course, losing things results in all kinds of emotions, and generally negative ones. Frustration, anxiety, suspicion, exhaustion. And all of those feelings get expressed in all kinds of ways. Some of us express our anger by seeking a culprit to which we can direct that anger. Because, quite frankly, it's easier to face than the pain that's inside of us, simply to place it on someone else. Some of us express grief by feeling simply sad, even hopeless, and the anxiety rises. Some of us express grief by wondering if we're all alone, and that simply makes us scared, or whether we will ever get out of this, and we cower in fear. Some of us express our grief by denying that there's even anything wrong in the first place. And so all of that loss, all of the grief of the world has changed, my life has changed, and I've lost something, all of that gets expressed in a host of ways. I'd like us, as we're gathered here to worship our God, I'd like us today to think about how we are responding to that loss and to that grief before our great God. And so our text today comes from the book of Lamentations, a book in the middle of the Old Testament, small little book. I've never preached on it before, because it's exactly that, filled with lamentations, laments, complaints. And who wants to read a list of complaints? It's not that exciting. But it teaches us, that book teaches us how to treat the losses that we experience in the context of our faith. Lament is a word that we perhaps don't often use, or perhaps never even use at all. To lament, to express disappointment. But it's that kind of crying out. And if it is a complaint, it's learning to complain well. Not just belly aching, not just whining constantly, but an expression of the grief, the hurt, the pain we feel from loss. And at the end of this message, I want to give you an opportunity to express that. And that's why this sheet of paper is laid out here before us on this table. And so at the end, and I want you to be thinking about that now, how could I express the kind of loss and grief that I experience to God? How can I express that to God? But let me reflect a little bit more from Lamentations about this business of lamenting. See, in our series Rise Up, we focused last week on rising up to hope, to grab a hold of the vision of the holy city, and to let that inspire us to live our lives to the glory of God as we participate in God's project together, to grab onto that hope. And I suspect not one of us would deny that kind of vision. We want to get there. We want to be able to live in that kind of hopefulness. But you don't just get there by wishing for it. You don't just get there by imagining it to somehow get beamed up into it. To live in hopefulness requires a journey. And it's a sometimes slow journey of grief and lament. Here in Lamentations chapter 2 specifically, there's a series of all kinds of complaints, serious complaints, against God no less. And here's what the writer says in Lamentations 2 verse 19. He's laid out a bunch of complaints, and then we get our phrase for this series. Arise. Arise. Cry out in the night as the watches of the night begin. Pour out your heart like water in the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to him for the lives of your children who faint from hunger at every street corner. Things are bad for the exiles of the people of God. Their nation has been taken over by a superpower, and they've been banished, captured, and they're told to live a certain way that's against any of their values or against any of their principles, any of their beliefs. And here they are in misery. And Scripture calls them to arise, cry out to God. Pour your heart out like water. To rise up, to cry out to God. I suspect we don't often let ourselves do that. We think that's a bad thing. We think that's perhaps an exercise in unfaith. But the book of Lamentations actually teaches us that it's part of faith to be able to cry out to God, to complain to God. This is the kind of thing that gets me excited. I'd never preached on the book of Lamentations, so I read through it, I studied it, I wondered why it's in the Bible, I read some commentaries about it, discovering that the book of Lamentations consists of five chapters. Those five chapters are five poems, and it's very neatly structured, highly structured. The two poems in the front are 22 verses each. The two poems in the back are 22 verses each. And the poem in the center, chapter 3, is 66 verses, which is 22 times the number of fullness, 3, and you get to 66. There's structure all around this. In the center of that poem, in the center of the book, in the midst of that poem is this great confession. All of these complaints surround this central confession. Lamentations 3, beginning at verse 22 and 23. For some of you, these are going to be familiar words. Here it is. This is the foundation of lament. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. For his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Those are the words that we've written here on as the backdrop to our laments that we'll be writing down. Great is your faithfulness. In the midst of all of the complaint, this isn't just whining. This isn't just a constant dirge of life is lousy, it's no good, I'm not having fun. No, this is structured as part of our faith, crying out to God. You see, we get to the safe haven of living hopeful lives. But along the way, in that journey, we have to admit that there are a lot of things wrong. And we can't get around the fact that in our minds at least, God ought to do something about this. And then we remember that God has done something about it. That Christ's victory was accomplished, but that victory was accomplished also through hardship, through suffering, through crucifixion, through the cross of Jesus Christ. So lament is the road to endurance. But lament also has its limits, outside of which we cannot endure. If we just let our lament become a series of complaints by which we live our lives, that everything is constantly God's fault or somebody else's fault, and if only everything else would be arranged, then we could have a good life. If we seek endurance outside of the limits of lament, then we're just going to be whiners and complainers. But lament has its limits. Lamentations 2, along with the first chapter as well, is a poem that's structured around the Hebrew alphabet. It has 22 verses. The Hebrew alphabet consists of 22 letters, and each verse of the poem begins with a consecutive letter of the alphabet. Now, you try doing that. Try writing a poem with starting with one verse starting with the letter A, then the next verse starting with the letter B. I mean, that takes considerable thought. It's structured in the sense that go ahead, pour out your heart to God like water. But within the structure of faith. You know, sometimes in our relationships, we fight this way, right? I mean, on the one hand, if you're angry at somebody, if you think that they could have done a better job or you think that they should have done something else differently, you have two options. You can simply give them the silent treatment. You can simply walk away, right? And then they're left holding the bag. They don't know what to do. Or you can address them. You can address them even in anger. You can yell and scream. Think of the kid that doesn't get his way and he yells at his mom, "I hate you!" But at least the kid has come to the mom. Staying engaged. That's lament within the structure of a relationship, within the structure of yet trusting. What's the kid doing? The kid's yelling out, "Mom, I need you. I love you. I depend on you." And the lament, "I hate you," is an expression of the grief, the loss of not getting the kid's way. That's what lament does in the structure of faith. Lament has its limits, but it expresses the pain of our hearts. We don't often let ourselves do that. And perhaps it even seems scary. It challenges our faith indeed. But it admits that we are nevertheless completely dependent on God. Otherwise, we would simply walk away and go, "Forget it. Who needs it? Who needs God?" And in that sense, then, also lament draws us together in the third place. Lament is the journey of endurance. Lament has its limits. But lament also draws us together. Or we have the saying, right? Misery loves company. Lament is an expression to others as well of what we silently feel. What's deep down in our hearts, the hurt, the pain, the frustration, the weariness, the anxiety. Healthy complaining requires then a two-way street. Healthy complaining, this kind of lament that takes place in the structure of our faith, is a two-way street. On the one hand, as you come up here, you can express your grief. You can lay out your lament. You can rise up to cry out yourself. But to come together and lament also means to rise up to listen to the cries of others. It's a matter of hearing one another out, not just to fix their problem, not just to solve it, not just to get rid of it, but to embrace the pain and to share in the hurt and to be able to say, "I don't know what to do about it, but I'll walk alongside of you." That's the journey of endurance. And to suppress it simply means that it's going to leak out in other ways, usually through violence or anger or cynicism or pessimism, or we just give up altogether. But instead of give up, let's rise up to cry out to God. So in a moment, I'm going to invite you to offer your lament, to express it on this sheet of paper. So let me lay out a little bit more what that expectation might be, just to help you form your thoughts. When you lay out a lament, address it to God. Right? Otherwise, it's too easy to just complain about something else or to lay blame on somebody else. But address it to God. It's the heart of your faith. It's the one in whom you trust. It's the one in whom you're depending can do something. So address it to God. And identify what you feel. That's the hard part, of course, about a lament. What do I feel? I don't know, I'm just angry. I don't know, I'm just sick of it. What's behind that feeling? Sad? Are you mad? Are you scared? That's perhaps one of the hardest emotions to admit. I mean, we live our lives so full of resources, so full of power, so full of strength that it's hard to admit that I'm just plain scared. I don't know what to do anymore. Scared. We don't like to admit that, certainly not to each other. But identify what in your heart is that which you cry out for? What breaks your heart in the midst of this pandemic? What disappoints you in this pandemic? Cry out to God. Address it to God. Or maybe what wounds are you nursing? You recognize the loss that you've experienced. What hurt are you nursing? And lay your petition before God. Ask him why. Why, God? Why do this? One of the powerful things in Lamentations is some of the language that's used. I mean, maybe this is why we don't often read Lamentations, because it doesn't sound like the Bible. But here's a complaint before God. Like an enemy, God has strung his bow. His right hand is ready. Or in verse 5, chapter 2, the Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. What an accusation. In the context of faith, of crying out to God to say, God, save us. The lament is made. The Lord is like an enemy. Who says that? I mean, often our impression is, man, we say that kind of stuff and lightning will come down, strike us. But in the structure of faith, it's pouring out our heart. Because of the hurt, the pain, the confusion, and the utter dependence that we have on God. And then, like the verse I read earlier, great is thy faithfulness. That lament can speak a word of praise nevertheless. Maybe a small word. Maybe just written in really small letters. But I trust you, Lord. That's the structure of faith in which we cry out to God, to lay before him our complaints of the place we're in this world. And so the band is going to come up, and we're gonna be in reflecting on that song, Great is Thy Faithfulness, great hymn of faith. And then I invite you to reflect and then come on up and write out your laments on this paper. Fill it up, take a time, and lay out your heart before God. The nice way about doing this is you don't have to stand in front of a bunch of people, and we're certainly not going to make this the banner that's going to be out front. So, you know, just write it down, and then that will be it, right? But let's learn to lay out our laments before God. Let's dare to cry out to Him. Let's dare to admit our hurt and our pain, our exhaustion, our frustration, our anger. To lay it before God, even. And then to depend on Him. In the assurance that God is with us. He has come to earth. He has accomplished His salvation through the great suffering and through the cross of Jesus Christ. Come to that cross as you lay your lament before our God. Let's take a moment to pray. Father, help us to search our hearts. Spirit of God, I pray that you will cleanse our hearts even as we pour them out to you. Give us the words to express what's in our hearts. As difficult as that might be, but God, we desire to do it because we know that you are a God of great faithfulness. You will not abandon us. You will not consume us. You will not leave us alone. You will not destroy us. And yet, God, our lives have changed so drastically that from day to day, it's so difficult to get through. In the midst of confusion, in the midst of disagreements, in the midst of anger, God, we live our lives filled with so much stress. We live our lives, God, filled with grief, with worry. We live our lives, God, often scared. And that's why we want to give you our heart. Even those ugly parts of our heart. So that you can once again come alongside of us and assure us of your faithfulness, of your strength. God, help us. Help us to confess that our strength is found in you. Even in our weakness, God, you are strong. In our foolishness, you are wise. In our loss, God, you've given us everything. Help us to rise up, Father, to cry out to you. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, God, my Father.
Isaiah 55 one time.
Just after the service, maybe spread yourselves out, of course, but maybe come and read one other lament as somebody's expressed it. Just one other. You can't read all of them, but maybe just hear somebody else's heart as we join together to cry out to God. God, save us. Deliver us. Free us to live in your faithfulness. So in that confidence, go out into this week. Rise up. Rise up to cry out to God, to pour out your heart to him. And may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you can live with the fullness of hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. To the glory of God, our Father. Great is his faithfulness. Go in peace. Bless you this week.